I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre Dublin, Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, fivetimes.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. Fivetimes.co.
24th of January. I thought it was the 23rd. 24th of January. Podcast Five Times up and running again. With me today, the legend that is Saint Ian St. John. I've sat in your chair, Saint, haven't I? You're usually doing this. And the man, the Danish legend, Jan Molby, is with me today. Talking all things Liverpool. Going to talk about Aston Villa, where it went wrong. Transfers missing in and out as the window is still open. Obviously, the few injuries, few players off form. We're going to get stuck into all that. A couple of things we're just going to talk about before we get into the juicy stuff is Five Times got a couple of events that are up and coming. One that may be a little bit difficult for you to get to, unless you live in Norway and Bergen and Oslo, where it probably would be pretty easy to get to, wouldn't it? Yeah. But we've got a couple of nights. We've got one in Norway, Bergen and Oslo, like I said, with myself, Steve McManaman, Robbie Fowler, talking about our careers, what we got up to, the future, Liverpool, everything Liverpool. That's on the 26th, 27th of March. Get on the website, get on Twitter, keep following for more information. The second date is the 6th of March, a little bit closer to home. It's Birmingham. John Aldridge, myself again, and John Barnes. Won't be able to get a word in edgeways with John there, but it'll be interesting. John likes to talk. If you want to come along and see me and John Aldridge, but listen to John Barnes, then that's the do to go to. Birmingham, 6th of March, as again, Five Times. Get on the website, Twitter for the information. Lads, Liverpool, Villa, what went wrong?
Well, funny thing about this, the Villa game, we have, this season, had some great games, and gosh, it's been terrific watching Liverpool, but there's been a couple of times where we've just fallen away completely and been very, very average. And if you think the Hull City game, I think that was one of them. Yeah. Shocker, and then
Southampton.
Yes, and then this one. And you're thinking, what's happening here? You know, I suppose if you look back in your own career and games, we played in teams that were very consistent. You know, I mean, runs of, if you go on a run, you go on a run. Mm. You could go 20 games, you know, without defeat and winning them all and everything. And this one, they seem to, all of a sudden, we're going great and we're talking it up about Suarez and Sturridge and the football we're playing, and bang, you get a game where you're going, what's the matter, lads? Nobody seems as if they're that keen to play, to be there. They look as if, you know, there's a lack of energy about them. And, you know, and I find that strange. And it's only happened a couple of times this season that I can look back on, but that was one of them against the Villa. And we came out of it with a point, which for me is a very valuable point.
I think well over halfway now, and we can have a good look at the first half of the season. I think Liverpool started the season, and Saints got a point there. For the first half, they were brilliant, weren't they? They come out, they were right at it. Their attitude was fantastic. Scored lots of goals in first half of games. Second half of the game, we kind of filtered away, didn't we? And sort of then hung on, really, but got the results. And so didn't score a lot of goals in the second half. The swing's kind of changed a little bit now. Is that tiredness setting in, Jan? Is that mentality?
It shouldn't be, should it?
No.
And we've only had Premier League games. Mm. Other clubs have been involved in other competitions, and we haven't. You know, and I think that's protected our season. That's not being disrespectful to the players, but the less games you play, sometimes the better. And the way that we started games have been unbelievable, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The ability we have to start games well. You know, and when you score as many goals as we do in the first half, then it doesn't really matter how you play in the second half, does it? Because the game's over. Just at the end of it. Saturday against Villa, I'm not overly concerned. I put it down to the fact that we played the wrong tactics. We started that we failed to start the game again. You know when you say you've got to start every game all over again, haven't you? I don't think we heard the final whistle at Stoke. We just continued to play the way we played at Stoke. Yeah. Because we quite liked what we saw at Stoke, didn't we?
Yes.
It was one of those games. Yeah, you go, they're going to score, but we're going to score them. And all the players were having fun, and the fans were loving
it. They enjoyed the game.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think Brendan just went, bang, let's start where we finished at Stoke. And you can't.
Do you think?
You've got to start all over again, haven't you? You've got to win that right, haven't you?
You've
got to get a grip in midfield. We never, at any stage, got a foothold in midfield, did we?
No.
Gerrard and Henderson, at no stage, got a hold of that midfield and go, okay, now we're controlling the game. I was at the game and I'm thinking, when are we going to grab the game and go, this is our game now? And even in the second half when it was 2-2, I thought, if there's going to be another goal here, it's going to be Villa. You know, because I never felt that we were in control of the game. And I think we've got to get back to having balance in our team and taking control of games. It's so important to have control of games. Isn't it? You know, even if you don't have to be playing well, but as long as you're in control of the game, you don't run the risk. But we run the risk every game of getting beat or conceding 2, 3, 4 goals because of the way that we play. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to go, whoa, back to what made us good, get control of the games, and maybe just be less adventurous. Because our good players, they'll get us there anyway. Mm. You know, we've got enough ability, even if it's a tight game and we go, this is a 0-0, we've got enough ability for Sturridge or Suarez or somebody else just to pop up and go bang. And sometimes you need that. You know, I think at the moment we're just too gung-ho.
Do you think Steven Gerrard's position in the team on the Saturday, it seemed as if that he was in a sort of no man's land position where I've always said I prefer him pushing forward, Steven, because I think there's nobody better in the game at getting in there and scoring goals and setting people up. He's brilliant. Now there's the thought now, well, he's getting on a bit, so we'll play him a bit deeper and save his legs, and this is the way fans are talking, and maybe Brendan's thinking that I'll drop him back.
It's a bit like when Rush stopped scoring goals.
Yeah,
maybe they should have put him in goal. And go, well, okay, we prolong his career like that. And that's what they're doing with Gerrard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
would you say
Gerrard
has
an attack...
But
not everybody can do that, can they?
No.
Gerrard was one of the best players in the Premier League for 15 years, and he was one of the best players in the world for probably a period of 10 years, doing what he does.
But, yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean you change what he does. He's going to be
it's
the best.
It's not for everybody, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Just to touch on that, though, I mean, Jan, you made a good point there. We finished the game against Stoke, away from home with that system, and... like you said, we played very, very well. Do you think then, you said Brendan's mindset then was to go into that game?
Oh, it was without any shadow of a doubt.
Pick it up and carry on. Right, do you think?
I think Brendan thought after that Stoke game, if this is as good as we are,
we'll go again.
We don't care.
Do you think there's I don't know if this is the right phrase. Do you think there was a slight lack of respect maybe towards Aston Villa? Because you look at Liverpool at Anfield, they've been fantastic. There were 7 wins on the run. I think it was 10 out of 11 games unbeaten. Free scoring at Anfield.
I don't think there was a lack of respect towards Aston Villa. I think there was a lack of respect towards the game generally, not the fact that it was Aston Villa, just towards the game.
It's the mindset of the players.
Yeah, because we know how every game
I read an article
when we used to play, and they used to say every game, and he didn't used to say against Aston Villa or against whatever they say. No, every game. And that's what I mean, you pay respect to every game.
Do you think there needs to be a slight humility then to go in?
Yeah,
with the club.
Yes, but not. It's not towards Aston Villa. This had nothing. If this would have been somebody else, would have played exactly the same way. It was respect towards the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, you sit yourself down and you go, 95 out of 100 games, you have to earn the respect to win. Yeah. Every now and again, it just flows.
Yeah.
But mainly, and that's what we fail to do.
I think in the home games, we have got to go out there, and you can tell sitting in the stand. Excuse me, after 10 minutes you go, we're not geared up for this today.
Yeah.
We have got at Anfield to go out there and go at them, and then the crowd go, you know, this is it again, and the noise. And the opposition are going, oh, bloody Anfield, you get nothing here. We've got to get... But if we go out like we did there and sort of stand around and they come into the game, they all of a sudden, they must have thought, hey, this is easy. Mm-hmm. I'm here at Anfield, we're getting the ball and we're knocking it around and... we're causing them a few problems, and the crowd have gone quiet. And you know, what we used to do away from home, say quiet in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of our sayings, when they're quiet in the crowd. Now they were quiet in the crowd. Now, because we have got to generate our own enthusiasm, it's a matter of it's Aston Villa or if it's Chelsea, Man U, we've got to generate that, come on lads, let's go, and come out the tunnel, and you go for it, and they go, hey, this is Anfield, this is Liverpool. And when we pose around and stand around and have a lack of, you know, endeavour in the game and a will to win, your fans know it, everybody knows it. We're looking at it, and as Jan says, at half time you think, what was that all about?
I just felt Liverpool had sort of got into this stride with the players playing in them positions. Everyone was playing in the right position, obviously, apart from left back, but then Sissoko coming to the team and he is a left back, so everyone was sort of playing in their same positions, and Liverpool were sort of ticking along nicely, all knowing their jobs, all knowing how to play. Henderson doing his thing. And then I noticed against Hull, there was a couple of players injured, wasn't it? And Sterling coming to the team, and Moses coming to the team, didn't we? And we kind of lost our balance. We kind of lost our idea of our identity, how we were playing. And we got turned over by Hull. I felt that happened again against Aston Villa. I think dropping Steven Gerrard back into that Lucas role. Henderson then all of a sudden was leaving Steven a little bit exposed. Coutinho wasn't
disappeared.
His defensive duties.
Coutinho, for me.
He has no defensive duties. Yeah. So the balance and the way Liverpool were playing and the way they know how to play all of a sudden went, didn't it?
Yeah. But I've never criticised Henderson when he's been asked to do something that doesn't come natural to him.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I mean.
So his ability, we know what he's
so
about.
Why change
isn't
the team?
I know.
Why change
his ability is his ability to get around the pitches.
Well, that's it, his energy.
At a high tempo, isn't
yeah.
it? With or without the ball. So when he's asked to drop further back alongside Steven Gerrard, then all of a sudden you've got two deep line midfield players trying to take control of a game, which is not naturally what they do. Because it's all very good saying Gerrard's going to be the new Pirlo and he's going to play like this and that. If you don't have that control in mind, you can't play like that. Because the hardest thing in football is score goals, isn't it? The second hardest thing is to control games, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that is a mindset. Pirlo can play football without running, yeah? He can walk around and totally control the game because that's his mindset, that's how he plays football. Steven is totally different. You know, and then
yeah,
all of a sudden,
it's a game as well, isn't it? The Italian game.
I know that.
But the English game now, they're pressing high on.
Yeah, I know that.
Pirlo would struggle now.
No, I don't think he would.
Premier League.
No, I don't think he would.
Well, they press high.
Yeah, I know that. But I think
in Italy, he gets a lot of time.
Exactly, but I still think he's clever enough that when the pressure comes,
he
just passes the ball and then he finds his time and his space.
Yeah, I think
can't do that.
Yeah, well,
maybe he can in the future, but it's not. He has never played football like that in his life. He's never played football. His has always been about getting the ball forward as quick as he can, joining in because he was always quick when
well,
he
second half
anything
proved
from,
that, didn't
anything
second
from 30
half proved that.
Anything from 30 yards he's prepared to have a goal.
Yeah.
His whole game is totally different, isn't it? So it's all very good. We have a tendency to we want to compare footballers, don't we? How can you when every footballer is different?
See, I don't think you should take
Pirlo's
away
a great player,
Jarrett's
a great player, but they're totally different.
Yeah.
What about their midfield players?
Here's a question for you, Saints. Does Steven Gerrard warrant being in the team? Has he got a job in the team?
Aye,
a place
of
in the
course.
Team?
Hey, you know, I was listening to phone-ins, you know, after the game on the radio, and you get fans saying, well, you know, I think Steven's got to that stage where you've got to leave him out. And when Henderson doesn't play as well, when Gerrard's playing deep in that, you know, so all of a sudden I'm thinking, hang on, are we hanging out Steven Gerrard to dry here? This has been our best boy for, well, since... Yancey, 10 years at least, but since he came in the team, he's been a great kid and deserved to play week in, week out. He's been an inspiration to this club. So for people to point a finger and say, oh, it's coming to the end of the road for Steven, I don't think so. I think he's in the wrong position deep there. He can play it, and of course he can play it, but we want Steven Gerrard there. You've got the extra 25% out of Steven, playing him where he's coming in on the edge of their box, crosses coming in, people like nodding him down, defenders misheading the ball, bang, in the back of the net. We've seen it, and we know what he can do, and he's a wonderful
player. I mean, I've heard all the arguments as well, and people sort of said, you know, his assists this season, but I think 5 out of 6 assists have come from set pieces, corners and free kicks.
But it's a big part
his
of the game, Jason, isn't it?
I think
but no goals from open play, penalties and free
well,
kicks.
Well, one from open play, the rest are penalties
and
free kicks, aren't they? So only one from open play. So that kind of covers it over a little bit.
Well, yeah, but it's only because you compare it against what he used to do, isn't it?
Yeah, but where I think there is a place for Steven Gerrard in the team, in the right position, which is further forward, it's not the holding midfield. So
no.
Lucas does a fantastic job there.
He's a number 8, isn't he?
Yeah. He is a further forward. Is his leadership qualities, his experience. And I really feel if he'd have played against City, that experience that he has and the way he can manage a team and manage a game,
yeah.
I think Liverpool might have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all hindsight because he obviously didn't play and the result stood as a defeat. But I just think, I think Liverpool do have to prepare for Steven.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I do think they need a leader coming
into this
squad. I'd
rather have Steven Gerrard play further forward where he used to play and give us 10 or 50% less than what he used to do when he was at his best. Yeah,
yes,
because I still think he'll be a threat. And also, it's the mindset of the opposition, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Whatever we think or whatever our fans think of Steven Gerrard, believe me, the opposition, it's one of the first names. They look on the team sheet and go, Gerrard's playing. And if they don't think, he's playing defensive midfield, I can live with that. But you know when Gerrard plays further forward, picking up second balls and shooting for 25, 30 yards, that's a worry for the opposition, and it's a mindset of the opposition as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're right enough, John. They're happy seeing him back there.
You would be saying, wouldn't you?
Of course, yes. You know. So that's a problem. The manager's problem, he's got to solve that and decide if he's going to play Gerrard. I'm not saying he plays him week in, week out, or 90 minutes, week in, week out, but he's got to use Gerrard because he's still so much quality for that team. And it'll be interesting to see where he plays him. You know, where he plays him. Whether that experiment of looking at it and playing him as deep as he did didn't work, then he's got to think, right, we'll get you forward again, Stephen, and let's get the best out of you there. He's also got a problem with little Coutinho floating in and out of the game. You know, this kid has got great ability and we're all wonderful, wonderful. And then you're saying, well, come on, his contribution to the team in recent weeks.
Does he need a rest?
Well, maybe so. Maybe so.
And you're not having this rest thing, are you?
I mean,
Okay. I'm not convinced he needs a rest. I think he needs to play central.
So how do you get him in the team?
Well, you play Gerrard in the number 8 role, you play Joe Allen, and you play Coutinho.
Gerrard, number 8, Joe Allen, holds the Lucas role.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then Coutinho.
Joe's not a defensive midfield player, but he is a controlling midfield player.
And then your front three, Sturridge, Suarez and
Sterling. And you just tell him to get on with it. Because it's not as if we're locked in the system anyway, is it?
Yeah.
You know, we float.
Those boys do float.
Exactly. Yeah. Just get on with it. But I think Coutinho deserves to be in the middle.
Yeah.
I think opposition to a certain extent have found him out a little bit, playing out wide.
Yeah.
But I think it's affecting him.
He wants to be in the middle.
Well, you know yourself. You're out of the team, you get an opportunity to get back in the team, and you'll play anyway, won't you?
Right.
You will, won't you?
Yeah, of course you will.
You know, I was out of the team in the 80s, Barnsley gets injured, so he puts me wide left, but I'm happy just to play. After three games, you go, hold on.
I'll do it.
It's great playing, but I don't want to play wide left. I mean, I'm a centre midfield player, and I think Coutinho is the same. When it's flowing, and it was rocking for him, and he's getting a few goals, and whatever, he was enjoying it, wasn't he?
Mm.
But he's not at the moment, is he?
No, he doesn't look a happy
chap. He's not, is he? No. And when he's coming up against the right backs, isn't it? And it's all the tracking back. And he's probably thinking,
well, that's it now.
I am so much better with the ball than without the ball. And I'm spending as much energy without the ball. So with the ball, give me a break. You know what I mean? So I'm a number 10, you know?
That business of tracking back is working for the team, which was always had to be the mindset of the Liverpool players. We're working for the team. And I think he doesn't fancy that.
No.
And you can tell watching him. If you never mind the ball, just have a look at him. And he's thinking, oh, bloody hell, I've got to track back here. You know,
second
I should be back.
Goal,
yeah, he doesn't look happy doing it. You know, he's like, oh, you know, and he's trailing his feet. And you say, come on, son, get back in there, fill that hole. And then you start again from there. So he's still learning the game. I mean, he's only a kid.
Yeah, he's still learning, yeah.
He's only a kid, and I think it needs the people around him. Now, are the people around him good enough to say to him, hey, come on, you know, get your finger out here, get back there and go there, you know, and move him around, make him work.
Do you feel the left back position is a cause for concern since Enrique's not played? And
well, obviously Flanagan came in and surprised me. I mean, and you will know, Jason, and the people who listen to this might not understand this, but you play right back or you play left back, it's totally different games.
It's like playing centre forward and playing goalkeeper.
It's two totally different games. Because when you play right back, everything's on your left, isn't it? When you play left back, everything's on
the
your right.
The principles are similar. But
yeah, the principles are how you approach it is totally different, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for Flanagan to come in and do as well as he did, absolutely surprised me.
On his wrong side, as you would
say. That's what I'm saying. But it doesn't surprise me that he's a good defender. I've always liked Flanagan. He is brought up being a good defender first and foremost. That's what he does, isn't it? I think he's done exceptional. You just can't see a right-footed play left-back for 10 years, can you? Dennis Irvin did it, didn't he?
I was going to say Den. I'm starting to think about it.
Dennis Irvin did it, but it's
you're
unusual.
Talking world class there,
but it's unusual,
you?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think as much as we go, Flanagan has done great. We need a left footer left.
Does it upset the balance of the team for you?
Well, it didn't, did it?
No, it didn't. But in the long run, would it?
Maybe possibly.
There's been over the years, left backs, right footed left backs. Not many, but there have been, and there have been some very good players. That have learned to adapt to position to suit their skills.
Kick with both feet.
So what we know is that what we know is that I don't see Flanagan as a left back for the next 10 years.
did we miss a trick on Bertrand? Ryan Bertrand. And by the way, I've heard a little conspiracy theory, right?
This will be interesting.
Mourinho has put Lukaku out on loan.
Yeah, we know why that is.
Yeah. Obviously, to play against the team, to do some damage. Now, all of a sudden, Ryan Bertrand, who's a quality player, been around the Premier League a long time, he's at Chelsea, quality club, all of a sudden ends up at Aston Villa, who are no threat whatsoever to Chelsea. Do you think we possibly were in for Bertrand and Mourinho wouldn't let him go to Liverpool? Can you see that?
There was a massive rumour, wasn't it, that we were looking at Bertrand?
Yeah.
And then
the
first thing that came out was that, well, Chelsea are not going to allow Liverpool to have him because of the way they treated Victor Moses.
Yeah.
Now, I don't get that, because Chelsea loan us Victor Moses. Yeah, he's not good enough to play at Chelsea.
He's not really good enough to play for us.
So that's what I'm trying to say. So if Chelsea lends us Victor Moses and go, you go and play him, and after 5 minutes we go, hold on, he's not good enough, why should Chelsea be surprised? Because he's not good enough
for them.
So why should he be good enough for us?
Exactly.
You know what? So the Ryan Bertrand thing, I don't really know. Have we missed a trick? I'm not convinced we missed a trick with him.
Can I stay on Chelsea and Liverpool? One matter, right, is going. I don't know if he's gone overnight. He may have signed for Manchester United. Why were we not in for one matter? Why were Liverpool not after matter, who is a real quality player, outstanding player? We need badly in our midfield a player like matter. Why did we not go in there and say, how much do you want from, we're going to go and bid for?
I think it was the whole package, 37 million.
Age.
He's 25. He's not even anywhere near his peak.
He had an uphill paper on.
No,
yeah, he did, yeah.
No,
yeah.
He's no.
Got more lines than an AA roadmap.
Well, there you go. Is it a good life? No, this kid, for me, is one that we would dearly have loved to have had in the team. And I think, why are we sitting back here when we desperately need a player like that and allowing him just to go to Manchester United to strengthen them?
It'd be a lovely style of signing, wouldn't it?
Why?
I think United are paying £200 a week or close to, and I think that rules us out. See, people keep going back to when we were looking for big signings in the summer, and we were linked with Diego Costa, not strongly, but we were linked with Diego Costa, and we were linked with Willian, and we were linked with Mkhitaryan, who's gone to Borussia Dortmund. Now, they were big fees, but I actually think we could have handled their wages.
That's the thing, isn't it? People
say two of them coming from Shakhtar, they might have been on 40 grand a week. Well, we could have handled
million deal, don't they?
Yeah.
But it's not really, is it? It's like a £45 million.
I know, but I think Kwamat is already on 100,000 plus.
Yeah.
And he'll want an increase, and I think that rules us out.
Well, if we're going to be back in as a top four club and try to win the championship again.
Yeah.
Players like Mata
are
essential.
Is what you need.
But they don't come up too often.
No, but I just look at our transfer policy, you know. And
well, can we not sell quite a few of them that we all...
Yeah, we...
Sitting here, we could name them. We don't want to name them, but there's a load of players there we could shift off and get your 4 million and 5 million or whatever. Get a kitty going and get yourself a top quality player.
It's what you need, isn't it?
I mean, he's going off to United. They're not going to be in Europe next year, are they? The way it's shaping.
They might play on a Thursday night.
Aye. No, but I mean, what is that?
You play on a Thursday night.
Pardon?
You play on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I do, yeah, but it's a higher quality than you would believe.
All right,
yeah,
okay.
Jason, believe me.
Down at Neston, there.
Pensby School.
I must go along and see some of these games.
No, you don't have to, Saints. Most of them are sold out anyway.
So, a Liverpool, are we going to land Salah, or are Chelsea just going to sign him because we want him?
Well, that's another good point, isn't it? Because that's what he did with Willian to Spurs.
Was, yeah.
Not just Liverpool, but Spurs.
Yeah,
he was in the office at Spurs, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And they signed him. And to be fair, now they're getting the I'm still not convinced they got the best out of him, but they're getting. So Salah, I don't know. Is that a case? But maybe if we were so desperate, which I believe we weren't. You know, we have this transfer committee, don't we? Mm. Of people who have to decide on who we buy, and I'm not convinced that everybody was as sure that this was the right man. You know?
With Salah,
yeah.
Only seen clips of him because he's in the news at the moment, but he looks pretty handy,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
he?
No, no.
He looks pretty handy playing. Yeah, he is a young player.
Liverpool need to play a different game in the transfer market. Maybe keep very, very quiet and maybe.
But you can't, can you? Because the moment you show your hand,
social media.
The moment you show your hand to anyone, whether that's Salah, whether that's Basel, they can't wait to tell the world, can they?
And who's that? Is that the agent?
I think the clubs as well. I think if you're Basel and you've got a player like Salah, and you all of a sudden know that there's a bit of interest. You want to let the world know that. But hold on, Liverpool are interested now. Chelsea are interested. It's just an auction, isn't it?
The ante.
Yeah, it becomes an auction.
Yeah. We've got to. I don't know how we cast our net nowadays, looking at players around the world. But you know, we don't seem to be really getting the top quality of players that we've managed to get over the years.
What I was talking about before about our transfer policy, you go back to last summer, yeah, and you look at Aspas and Luis Alberto, yeah. Mignolet, Laurie, the two loan signings or whatever. It's not top class players, is it?
No.
So
mm-hmm.
so we hope. That they're going to be top class players. We get them
in the potential, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you feel?
But look at the other potential ones that we had a couple of years before that. Where have they all gone? You know, the ones that.
Well, when you buy potential, so it's a guy that has always.
Put them out and loan to various teams, and then they've just disappeared. And so where have they gone?
Do you feel in the transfer market? Because if you look at Manchester United now, and they're having a right go, aren't they? Because players at the top level, they get paid thousands and thousands of pounds a week. And I've got to admit, right, they want to win things, don't they? The top players, it's all about winning things, isn't it? Champions League.
Yeah, football's changed in many ways. And the chase for medals is greater than ever.
Yeah.
Years and years ago, and even after your time, Saint, and even when I played, people were sort of happy to, well, I play for Arsenal, I play for Everton, and I'm quite happy to take my chance here.
Yeah.
And if it happens, it happens. If not, this is where I play. That's no longer enough, is it?
No.
It's no longer enough, is it?
No.
He goes, I'm now playing at Everton. It's not happening. I want to go.
Yeah.
I want to go somewhere. I want to get in the top four. I want to play in the Champions League. And people chase.
Yeah,
exactly. People chase as much more than they used to, didn't they? And we've just got to live with it.
So you put yourself in a position, don't you, to really challenge in the transfer market and bring these top players in. And that is by playing Champions League football.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the carrot. That's the carrot.
So Manchester United, this window, there's still a possibility they'll get Champions League football. There's still a possibility, right? So their potential in the transfer markets is still being able to bring in the likes of Juan Mata, bring in top.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Silence, maybe Fabregas, maybe other players. So...
Yep,
it's a window that is really important, because if they don't, my point is, if they don't get that Champions League football at the end of the season, they're not going to attract the likes of Fabregas, they're not going to attract them type of players because they're not in the Champions League.
No.
Are Liverpool in the same situation with this transfer window?
Can I just say one thing?
Do they need to bring players in?
Manchester United in this transfer window. Do you think, let's just say that Juan Mata would have been in the Chelsea team and he still would have been available because he's not Mourinho's type of player? Do you think Juan Mata would have left Chelsea if he was in that team?
To go to what team? To go to United?
Yeah.
No. Might be with players.
So I also think that Manchester United have lost some of the power of attracting players. They can't go to Barcelona and get Fabregas if he's in that team.
Yeah, but Fabregas is not in the team and they still can't get him.
No, that, so they've lost some of their power as well, haven't they?
Well, we've lost the power.
We've not been in Europe.
That's right. We've lost the power.
We're in the strongest position we've been in a long time to bring in the likes of Mata, to bring in...
Because we're on the verge of it, and we can say to Mata and other players, hey, look, if we get you, we will be in it. You know, that's the line you take, isn't it? And I've got my eye on somebody else, and if we get him, bum, bum, and you know. Now, what United have gone at him and said, look, we've got our two best players are out, and it is amazing what's happened to David Moyes, isn't it? Rooney and Van Persie have been out the team, and they look awful. Yeah. Now, they've got Mata, get those two fit, and all of a sudden you're looking at a different United. All those lads that were plodding around the other night, looking shocking, obviously got a big spark. These guys score goals, team's winning again, and they start heading up the league.
Would you think if Liverpool, in the sense we might have got a strike while the iron's hot, that's my point.
Yeah, well, we're in that position, Jason, I think it's right. And we were sitting at the top there a few weeks ago, then we're second, now we're slipping. The more we slip, obviously, a player, Liverpool looks less attractive to them, doesn't it? Because they go, well, hang on, they're mid-table here.
Maybe they won't get Champions League.
Won't get Champions League. So this is why it's so important that we win these games, and the Villa game that we talked about, if we'd have picked up the 2 points there, it's so vital, you know, to put us up there, to make players look at Liverpool and go, they're on the way back. Liverpool are on the way back.
Would send a message out if you were brought in Mata or someone like that, wouldn't you?
Would it? I don't know why it wasn't even mentioned in the paper that we'd even be interested in him.
But Mata did come in. I mean, we're only talking about Mata because he's left, hasn't he? But if he did come into Liverpool, then obviously someone's got to be sacrificed to the team, isn't it? And who would that be? Then you're looking at maybe Coutinho.
Yeah, but that doesn't give you a problem as a manager. If you bring in somebody of the quality of Mata and you have to get him in the team, then that's not a problem, is it?
That's what you pay for.
Yeah, it's kind of, you go, yeah, I'll tell you what, as a manager, you might have a bigger problem that when Flanagan comes back fit and you have to try and fit him in a team because his performance has deserved that, it's a bit more tricky. But Juan Mata, world class player, it's never a problem as a manager, is it?
No.
You just bring him in.
Then it's up to Coutinho.
And you leave somebody out and you go, I'm really sorry, but this boy's better, you know?
Yeah, it's up to Coutinho to do special things.
Exactly, you hold on to your jersey.
Team, yeah. Well, it would be terrific to have a player like him behind Suarez and Sturridge, wouldn't it?
So, looking at Liverpool as we stand at the minute, obviously Lucas is injured, Glenn Johnson, maybe there's a rumour Glenn Johnson might be slightly injured.
But Brendan said at the press conference on Thursday that he's got an ankle problem, he's had for a long while.
A long time.
He's out, there's no timeline, we don't know when he's going to be back. I don't know what that means, but... we certainly have to assume that he might be missing for.
Are they two big blows to Liverpool, Lucas and Johnson?
I don't think Johnson's played as well this year as he did in previous years. Don't know why, but you know, always thought he was such a good player for us. But this year, it's as if he's playing sort of within himself a bit. He's certainly not been the dynamic fullback that I think he's got the ability in him to do that. And I don't think he's been doing that. I really don't.
I mean, obviously the ankle injury now is maybe a part of the reason
at all.
Yeah, but I also think that there's going to be a contract issue soon, isn't it? With Johnson contract, that might be playing on his mind. Will we miss both of them? Yeah, we will share, but just because of numbers.
Well, that leads me on to just finishing off this transfer window. Liverpool need players in.
Yeah, we need players in. Yeah, absolutely.
So they got. So what would you expect before the window shuts? Two.
I think we need to.
Yeah, I would like the midfield for me. You know, I think you really need somebody in there along with Steven Gerrard, a real quality player, because I think it all starts from in there. You're the hub of your team, drive the team forward from there, and we really need that. If we don't have that, and we're saying Steven's like strengths are on the wane slightly, then where's the drive going to come from? It's not going to come from Lucas. He's not going to get your goals and anything, is it? What was happening?
Brings a lift as well to the whole place. Yeah. Just for a minute.
Spurs worry me.
What about centre back positions? We're losing goals.
Yeah. Spurs worry me. We beat them 5-0 in December.
Think
and you thought.
That.
Yeah, no doubt, but you kind of go, that was a statement, wasn't it? Winning 5-0 at White Hart
Lane. Oh, brilliant. It was,
we're now level on points. We're now on level on points with them.
And they look a stronger team.
They look a stronger team. They look a better balanced team. And they've got a massive squad.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, you know. a fan could have taken over from that AVB
That's
guy,
right, yeah.
who was, for me, I don't know.
John Barnes and Jason McAteer might have been able to do
my
that.
My nan could have changed that.
Well, the big boy Sherwood goes in and does what every Spurs fan
would have done.
And they start winning games.
Everyone would have done it.
Even your nan, science. Yeah, of course. Your nan would have done it.
Yeah.
How long is it going to last with Adebayo, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, we know that. But yeah.
The only good thing for Spurs in that is that, you know, his contract is up in 16 months, isn't it? So you know he's going to get his finger.
Yeah. Well, that's why he is getting his finger out, isn't it?
But they're going to be competing with us for that place in Europe, yeah. That's going to be fourth spot. They're going to be competing for it.
If I signed Adebayor, I'd have him on a contract where he can deduct wages if he doesn't perform.
If he doesn't run.
Yeah.
I think he trains.
It's got to be at least a 7 out of 10 every week.
But to tell you what, when he's playing, Jason,
you've got a 7 out of 10 every week.
Yeah, no, or more.
Who's 7 out of 10.
Oh, same was an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Who's the hardest worker, him or Berbatov?
Yeah.
Fair, fair. Well, at the minute,
him. Twin strikers, here they are, and the two of them standing holding hands. Oh, God.
He got himself a move to Arsenal there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Bentner was the only one who didn't know about it.
But he's got Bentner, he's okay. Man.
No, Bentner's
not. Stop having a go in the day.
He's another one. You know, it makes sense. That's a few of them about, isn't it? Brings me to Tuesday. Get off the transfer policy. Tuesday, massive game. Everton, really good season for them, isn't it?
Oh. I mean, funny enough, at the start of the season on Radio City, I do a job with Ian Snowden, and I was saying, what are you looking forward to? I said, well, I'm looking forward, and I would love to see Liverpool as a city being up there competing with Manchester as a city, to be back to the old days where, you know, Everton and Liverpool were up there vying for the top spot against the Manchester teams, against the Manx. And I said, that's what I was looking for. And it's happening. It's, you know, Everton have been terrific, and they're going to be up there. We were sitting up there anyway. So both of us are now making a real impact in the league. And United have fallen off the perch, but City playing brilliantly. But we can get in there and become, you know, the top city again. And I think it's brilliant. And for us to play them Tuesday night, we must win that game. That's a must-win game. We must put them back in their place.
Do you see Everton sustaining this? Obviously, all the loan players are going to go back, aren't they? He needs funds, obviously, to keep them. If they go back, then they have to restart again, don't they? It's a building problem.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Permanently, you never feel they can quite move on. It's for now, isn't it?
Built on sand, isn't it?
It's for now, isn't it? Yeah, it's very fragile.
But they've got a steady team, and they pick themselves, that team.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Don't they? They pick themselves, and the two full-backs are terrific.
Oh, they are very good.
Coleman's got an injury and might leave him out for a bit. And he's been coming on great, that kid. I like him.
How do you see the game going, Sam?
I think our man Suarez is going to be big in this game. And
do you think the Villa result is going to help us?
Yes, I think it needs.
I think the worst thing that could have happened, if we'd have beaten Villa 5-0,
we might have thought
this is going to be easy.
Yeah,
I'm hoping there's been a few backsides being kicked.
Whose backside was you kicked?
Oh, no, everybody.
I'd hate to have my backside kicked by your size 10.
I'd have kicked them all.
That's
right. Yeah, I'd have won with all of them, I tell you.
Yeah, all of them. I don't think
you start with the goalkeeper and you go to Mignolet and you go, listen, stay on the line.
Let the centre half deal with that.
Just stay on the line for three games. Yeah, let's see how that goes. Get your confidence back.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't come for that goal, Benteke,
Johnson
heads it away. Yeah. It's as simple as that. And Johnson's not a great header, but he would have headed that way. Anyway, the Everton game, I really don't know. The first game was terrific, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant.
It was ridiculous. When you talk about managers with tactical ability, like Martinez,
we haven't seen a derby like that for a long time, have we?
It was just free flow. Yeah. Well, you have a go, we have a go.
That's it, correct. They went for each other's throats.
They did, yeah.
I hope it's the same.
But it wasn't a case of, we don't want to lose this one. It was a case of, we want to win this. You know. And you look back and you go, how big was Sturridge's equaliser? You know?
Mm.
Big goal. I like Everton. I think if Everton turn up in their strongest 11, it's going to be a real game. Barkley, if he doesn't make it, that's a big loss for them.
Yeah, because he's the one
who's a bit different, isn't he? Without him, they have a very steady, very, very good midfield with Barry and McCarthy and Osman, but they don't have what Barkley brings, do they? So if he doesn't make it, I think it's our game, but I think it'll be tough. I like Everton. The goalkeeper's playing as well as he's ever done. The back four is rock solid. It's a solid midfield. Lukaku on his day. He's not having his day as often as he was earlier on in the season. But again, we talk about young players. He's a young kid, isn't he? You know, he's carrying the. The one that slightly worries me at the moment, he's playing well, is Morales.
Yes, he's
playing. He always had ability,
yeah.
But he was a bit flimsy and whatever. But he's playing well, he's quick, and he's getting the most of the goals.
Looks as if he's got confidence.
We've been here before, though, haven't we? Derby game at Anfield, Everton come in, it's a great form, and everybody goes, this is the time. And we always, always see the most.
So do you think we need to keep an air of caution here, not get carried away? Because if we've got a real confidence at Anfield, haven't we, this season?
Yeah.
And everyone's saying Liverpool will get this fourth place because all the big teams have got to come to Anfield.
Yeah.
So people are kind of saying, well, they're not going to get anything because we're so good at Anfield.
Yeah.
Villa showed we can be vulnerable at Anfield.
Absolutely. I think the two teams who got something from Anfield this season have been very much in a similar way.
Yeah.
Southampton pressed us high.
Yeah.
So did Villa.
Yes.
Both teams have got real pace to hurt us. Yeah. You know, Weimann from Villa, people go, but he's quick, isn't he?
Yeah, very quick.
He kept running off Gerrard. Bon Lahore's quick. Benteke's quick and strong
as well.
And it was very similar to Southampton then. And the better teams, when they come,
they're playing like that.
They're similar, aren't they? They're similar, aren't they? And I think some of them might actually. So you take Arsenal, who's here in town on the 8th of February, who now all of a sudden defend as well as anyone in the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see Wenger gone, go on. Park yourself up on the 18-yard line. Defend, because you know you can defend. Mm. Defend against them, and let's see what we can do going the other way, because we know Liverpool are going to be reckless.
Is there a chance it could all end in tears?
Yeah, it's always that risk, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say it will end in tears. I think we'll end in a position in the league that has been better than previous years. So, I mean, if you're improving, you're improving.
Every team has a bad spell through the season,
yeah.
Don't
they? But I don't think we're having a bad spell, are we? I mean,
okay.
You know, we're on fire, aren't we? And I said before, I don't put Villa necessarily down to the way that...
We've always bounced back, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Villa was a one-off. We got it wrong from whenever we picked that team.
Yeah.
Whenever that was Friday morning or whatever, that's when we got it wrong.
Yeah.
And then we just couldn't on the day. And you know yourself, Jason.
Yeah.
If you don't start well...
It's worse and worse.
What Big Hansen always used to say, start quick and you can always go quicker. Mm. Start slow and it's very, very difficult to, you know...
Yeah.
So a good start, and we didn't get a good start, and we never got into it.
That's right.
For some reason, or somehow we pulled ourselves, we got a point.
I think
a game we should have lost, we got a point. Yeah. End of story, let's move on.
Get out of there.
Yeah. Everybody knew watching it that we were not on song.
Yeah.
So come the end of it, you say, well, you walk away and think, well, we're lucky to get a point out of that.
Yeah.
You say, yes, we were. So you take it, and I say, right, what have we learned? We've learned that you can't play like that. And I think at Anfield, I wish the players would, you know, show the fire that is required to play at Anfield. That's what I want to see them. And in the games this year, it's been so enjoyable because they have been shown that.
Well, a little bit doom and gloom after because of the results.
Because we look at the bigger picture, Jason.
But there was positives. We've come back from 2-0.
Yeah, but you have to think now that the bigger picture is that there's a top three, yeah?
Yeah.
That's pulling away.
Yeah.
And then we're now on level points with Spurs in fifth, yeah? And I think that's our season. We either finish fourth or we finish fifth.
Okay. Well, before the Everton game Tuesday, FA Cup.
Well, and no, all former players will look back on their careers and go, "Do you remember that FA Cup tie?" We've all played FA Cup ties that just go pear shaped on us, and I would like to think that Liverpool go down to Bournemouth and play the way that they're going to play against Everton.
With what team, I'm saying?
We've got to go in and really go and batter them.
Strong team?
Oh, strong, yeah.
Do you think we can beat Southampton with anything less than the strong team?
Bournemouth.
Sorry, Bournemouth.
That's next door, isn't it, Southampton? I know where you're coming from there. Coastal. south.
Do you think we can go to Bournemouth and beat them without putting out a strong team?
Well,
no, I don't.
We
no, thought
that against Oldham last year, didn't we? And we got.
I don't think.
Stuff,
yeah. I don't think we can.
I don't think we can. I think it's got to be a.
They're a Championship team.
Yeah.
This will be the biggest game they've had since they beat United back in the '80s, this is an unbelievable game for them. They're a good team. He's a good manager. They'll have a go, them. They play some good stuff.
Pitch will be a level up.
The problem you've got is that if we change too many, then we lose our leaders, we lose our ability to win games. I just don't think we're in a position.
And as we've seen in the past, I mean, he tried it against who was it? We put Oldham at home
against Oldham.
We changed it all around.
Too many changes.
The balance went, and they looked like they hadn't played together for it. Well, they hadn't played together had they for a long time.
No, I think we've got to go there and go right at them from the off and hit them with our best Strong team. Get the goals in the back of the pokey and then say, right, Lewis, you want a little rest here, son, so and so, you come off, have a little rest, put the rubber dubs on and have the game won. So
I don't know why managers don't do it back to front when they rest players. To put them on the bench just in case.
That's nonsense.
Start them.
Then bring them off
and go. I tell you what, after 30 minutes we could be 3-0. I tell you what, I'll put you off then. I just don't get it. But I think you go to Bournemouth and you make sure one thing and one thing only, that you're still in the cup. If that's a replay, then that's a replay. Yes. People go, that's another game. Yeah, so what? You know,
we've, as you were saying earlier on, we've not had an abundance of games.
Exactly. But I've played at York City away twice on the bounce. We drew one each twice. We've been to Swansea City when they were nowhere. We drew 0-0. You go, we're still in the cup. We bring it back to Anfield. We beat Swansea 8-0. We beat York 7-0. But you stay in the cup, you know.
We lost to Swansea once at Anfield.
Yeah. But you stay in the
goalkeeper to this day had, I've never seen a goalkeeper in the world play like this guy. Noel Dwyer was his name, an Irishman. You might know. I knew of him.
I think I was born in the forces.
He was like an octopus. He was like, arms everywhere, blah, blah. And we battered it, and do you think we couldn't? And we missed
it. Like an octopus.
And I think we missed the penalty.
Did you miss it?
No, I was asked not to take it. When I saw those penalties the other night at United, I thought,
have you?
I would have been. I'd have been
the worst.
Have you ever seen anything like
that? They all look proper nervous, didn't they?
I was watching with my wife, and she goes, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, when you put the ball down and run up, I'll tell you." And you could, not one of them looked comfortable, did they?
No, they didn't.
You know,
not one of them.
You could see in their faces as they walked up, and you could tell in their demeanour. It was compelling, compulsive viewing. You were like that, I want to go to my bed, but I must see this. You know, it's fantastic.
You know, when you watch a penalty shootout, somebody always goes, do you think he'll miss? on Wednesday, it was like, do you think he'll score?
Oh, what
7 out of 10.
Ridiculous, man. Hey, by the way, a lot of England players in that taking penalty.
I don't think Phil Jones will be taking one in the World Cup, though, will he?
Will he be on the pitch? We'll have to wait and see.
I tell you, they forget about England, forget about World Cups, they've got no chance.
No.
Anyway, back to 45.
Three of us,
no. We've got more of a chance than Ireland, so you put it that way. We're not even
Scotland.
Going.
Or even Denmark.
We'll play you while the games are on.
Yeah, we'll have a round robin tournament, mostly.
Yeah.
We can talk about how bad it is.
We're not there, no, we're not there.
That's what I'm saying. We can talk about England.
12:45 kickoff. Is that a little bit disappointing, a little bit disrespectful to the fans?
Sure. I mean, when I heard it, I mean, we were on a podcast last week, and we said, "Can you believe it? That was, you know, Saturday as early as that. Lads have got to go up all hours of the morning, get on buses and fans and everything, and head off down there." I think it's so ridiculous. I get so annoyed about football and the way it's run today. And the decisions that are made by the FA, the Premier League, TV dictate everything, and the clubs are going, okay, we'll do that. Forget the fans. I thought it was a great gesture, by the way, the other day at Sunderland, put on all those buses. That's brilliant.
They've done that. The great club, you know.
Saying. Well, there you go. There's a club saying to the fans, hey,
We appreciate you,
and we'll take you down there. You support the lads, we'll take you down there and bring you back.
They've done it a few times, yeah. I remember a couple of trains were off one time as well, and they all got stranded somewhere far away, the Sunderland fans, and the club put on coaches to go and pick them up and bring them all back to Sunderland. It's a great club, they think like that.
Yeah,
they think like it's good, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, I mean, we can all agree sometimes fans are a pain, aren't they? You know, but what you have to go through to support your club, you have to take your hat off, don't you?
Exactly.
And it'll be Liverpool's turn. to find.
I mean, they could stay at home, watch it on TV.
Yeah, but
they want to be there. They want to be there. You know, guys will say, I've not missed an FA Cup tie for 20 years and whatever.
So you sign up to that thing, don't you? When you become a fan, you sign up to whatever it takes. We'll just have to find a way.
How are we going to get there?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, somebody will be down there Friday night having a right good, you know, and others will just leave early Saturday morning.
What's your best memory FA Cup thing playing?
The final, obviously, the final.
Is that Leeds?
That was a Leeds, 65. That was obviously the big one. Never having won it before and winning it on a day. But the semi-final, we beat Chelsea in the semi-final.
Where?
At Villa Park.
Okay.
Having gone extra time in Europe in midweek in a game, and then we played them at the weekend. On a glue pitch at Villa Park, which it was then. And it was a most amazing result. And when you talk about tiredness and everything in today's, players are playing on wonderful surfaces.
Yeah.
I mean, sports science is supposed to be the thing in football, isn't it? And I look at them sometimes and think, I don't think they're as fit as it could be, but there you go. So we're playing extra time over in Europe. We come back, having won. It was a semi-final as well. Having won, we come back and we go to Villa Park and play in a mud heap of a pitch and win the game. And Billy Seamers took a penalty. Now, here's talking penalty kicks. We get a penalty. I got pulled down with Chopper Harris, and that was strange, wasn't it?
Is that the game where you chin the fella?
No, no.
Oh, that was another game.
Sun right off that thing.
No, but never mind. This one here, I get Chopper, could see Chopper coming, he goes, just nudge it away from him. Won't carted me. Now, we're all hiding. Roger Hunt, everybody's hiding. Nobody wants to take the penalty. Only Stevenson, who had never taken a penalty. Well, give him the ball, takes the ball, and we all go, oh, thank God for that. And he walks up, puts it on the spot. Peter Benetti's in goal, and he ran up in top corner.
England keeper at the time.
Great England keeper.
The cat.
Put it in the top corner, and we get to Wembley. And, you know, he never took another penalty. That was his one and only penalty. Okay. So, you know, the penalty kick, Jan took millions of them and scored with them. And we are doing it. But this boy took the one, but nobody else would take it. Everybody was turning their back, and we thought, no, because it was get us to Wembley time. And Steve-O, terrific top corner.
What was your favourite memory? Well, 86?
Yeah, the final, but my first FA Cup game ever, because it was a massive thing for me to play in the FA Cup. The FA Cup was much more famous than Division 1 games, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So my first, I didn't play in the FA Cup in my first season, so my second season, January 1986, we played Norwich at Anfield, beaten 5-0 in the snow with an orange ball, which was very unusual in those days. That's my favourite moment. I don't know, but it was different. It was different. We played a couple of days early against Sheffield Wednesday at Anfield, and this was just different. It was an FA Cup, it was a third round, it was different. It was absolutely fantastic. With the snow, it was just like it had to be, you know, with the snow. And, because in Denmark, you think, well, if you play football in January, it's going to snow. And it did. So everything was right, isn't it?
It's not like you were at home.
No, but it felt right. And he also, and you know, also this thing that it's never going to be called off either, is it? Yeah, it's a bit of snow and we just get on with it, you know.
Clear the lines.
Yeah, it was just, it was fantastic.
What's your worst?
The FA Cup.
Worst memory.
We got beat with Everton at Goodison. Alan Ball scored a goal late on. I remember one of those mix-up in the goal mode jobs. And a lot of men scored. So to get knocked out of the cup at Goodison, come on, you know, to hide for a month.
What's yours?
Well, it was 88, Wimbledon, really.
Did you play in the Bristol City?
No, I didn't. I was at the club, but I didn't play.
Well, that wasn't FA Cup, was it?
It was Bristol City. Bristol City was FA Cup. But 88, really, I think. You know, I still look at 86, 88 and 89. We should have won three doubles, you know. Obviously lost against Wimbledon in the final, and then that late Arsenal goal in 89, so... Yeah, Wimbledon.
Did you play in the Bolton game?
No, I didn't either, no.
You didn't play in that? That's why you lost, isn't it?
Well, it's not for me to say, Jason.
I'll say it then. Probably was.
Thank you.
Why they lost.
So there you go. We've gone through, just off the top of our head, there are games that you'd expect to win and never won.
Yeah.
So
they're the worst, aren't they?
They've gone to Bournemouth. We've got to go to Bournemouth and say, right, from the off, get right into them. Let them know.
Do you ever wear a dodgy suit, Saints?
Why, are the police after you?
Yeah. They were in 96, you know. Can Liverpool win the cup? Is it got the name on it this year?
Well, there you go. We get through this one at Bournemouth and the excitement of the draw and who you're going to get. And before you know it, Well, a couple of games and then we're talking Wembley. So, yeah, I'd love to see it this year. Liverpool getting to Wembley would be terrific.
Is it important they win it?
No, it's not important that they win it, but it would be a bonus. Absolutely. It's important to win trophies, that's for sure. And you talk about can they win it, of course they can. We won it in 1992. And I think we only played Aston Villa from top flight. Even in the semi-final, we played Portsmouth, who were a league below, and so were Sunderland in the final. You know, they were all from Division 2. So, a bit of luck in the draw. Yes. You know, all the others. I mean, Arsenal knocked out Spurs already, and you get a few in the fifth round. So, yeah, anything is possible.
All right, just to finish on then, two games probably before we do the next podcast. What's your predictions? Bournemouth?
I think we win down at Bournemouth, yes. I think we win by 2 or 3 goals.
2 or 3?
We should be good enough to beat Bournemouth. I think we'll beat them 2-1.
Derby, Everton?
I'd like to think we win that one. I think Suarez will win the game for us and we can win it 2-1.
I tend to be of a similar thought.
You concur?
That's a good one, that, Jason.
I've only heard it the other week.
Yeah. I mean, let's not make any bones about it. They're an excellent outfit and it'll be tough, but our better players are better than their better players, and that might just be enough.
And they've turned up enough times this season, haven't they?
Absolutely.
Great, lads. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Jason.
The legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre Dublin, Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, 5times.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. 5times.co.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.